doesn't it? Whether you are raising teens, whether you're in the workplace, in a family circumstance or situation, even your choices with the living Christ. This morning we want to talk about how as parents we can help create and foster responsible kids, and specifically teenagers. Now, once again, you might be sitting here single, older, empty nester perhaps, and your kids are long gone. I will guarantee you that you will learn from the book of Proverbs in particular about a variety of areas that you can apply God's truth. Look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11. And if you would, please, I can overwhelm you with a chart this morning. We're only going to take the chart with the arrows. Okay, the charts with the arrows. The road to a responsible life. And if you look at that, and also at the same time, look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11. Notice it's very simple, it's pithy, but it's simply powerful. It says, even a child is known by his actions, by whether his conduct is pure and right. Most of us want to be responsible people, don't we? And for sure, we want our children, and in particular our teenagers, to be individuals that have a reputation that their conduct is right and their conduct is pure. As the sketch illustrated today, it's not all the parents' responsibility, nor is it all of the teens' responsibility. But ideally, when both parties begin to understand their responsibility, then growth can take place. That's crucial for us to understand that and to engage in that very, very important truth. Now notice, the ideal is we want to see our kids grow up that are responsible. They're influencers in their own level. They can go into a circumstance and not be dissuaded by the culture around them, but they can impact that culture. We want to see teens that have a responsiveness to the Spirit of God, that they will transition, so to speak, from your faith as a follower of Christ, where they adopt it for their own and then be able to carry it on to the next generation. We want to see kids that are givers and not takers. We want to see children that have a good, healthy self-esteem. That doesn't just happen in a vacuum. It happens through a lot of prayer. It happens through a lot of principles that are applied in our everyday life, in our everyday experience. Notice across the page, it talks about in particular, Ephesians 6:4. You can look it up later. Most of you are familiar with it, where it says, fathers in particular, don't exasperate your kids. Probably one of the number one reasons for exasperation in any relationship is where people just continue to raise the standard where it's impossible for them to achieve it. But specifically, he goes on and Paul says, nurture them and admonish them in the Lord. And the word nurture means to cultivate the mind and the morals by correcting mistakes and by curbing passions, with the goal that kids, and all of us, but kids in particular, become virtuous. And notice we'll get there on the top arrow to the right. There's that characteristic of a child having a life of virtue. But let's go back over to that arrow on the left. A parent comes along and raises their children, and in particular as they grow teenagers, with a proper balance, hopefully, of giving limits and giving liberty. The bottom line is most of raising kids is about control. Have you figured that out? Most about raising kids is about control. And if you could imagine, even though I don't have it here, if you can imagine, you can kind of use the arrow as an example, a V. and a V being birth, the very bottom. And as the V expands within the age level that's appropriate for children, choices increase as the V gets wider. The two side columns represent limits. And as a child gets older, they have more choices. In early stage, they might be choosing the difference between chocolate milk and vanilla or regular milk. Okay, simple choice. As they get older, hopefully, your kids, as they grow up, especially teenagers, they make the choices, the right choice, for example, how late to stay out. Do we give them that kind of freedom within those limits? By the way, it's always easier to increase a person's power of choice than to diminish it. You figure that out as well? Today in our culture, in many ways, the pyramid is reversed. As soon as kids are born, what happens in many, many families is they assume they're adults. And they actually give them too much freedom. I am absolutely shocked at how certain parents raise their kids. You think they had PhDs in psychology and they're 2 years old. And what happens is, as a person grows, because they soon become tyrants, whether that's through temper tantrums or pouting, they're looking for control. And one of the answers for an adult is, I'm going to clamp down more on them. In fact, just the opposite ought to be taking place. This type of V should be taking place. And the point is, as a parent, if we're going to be successful parents, what we need to do is, as much control as we can give away to our kids, give it away to them. Because the degree to which they learn with those choices they make are the degree to which they are going to exercise self-control in the future. And what we want to do is limit the choices, allowing them to succeed or fail within a safe environment so that they might grow and they might become what God wants them to be. The reality is, many of us and most of us make wrong choices in life. Notice the decision for a choice is the star, and then there's the wrong choice. As you've heard me say over the years, we clearly have the freedom to choose. The problem is, we can't what? We can't pick our consequences. Have you noticed this? It's really amazing. You can have one small choice that have huge consequences. Sometimes you have a small choice and small consequences. You can have big, huge choices with small consequences and big consequences. By the way, it's real interesting. When you listen today, the temptation is to say, well, this just applies to teens. You know, Bill Gothard, years ago when he did Basic Youth Conflicts, if you're familiar with those seminars, years and years ago, basically he said, you know what? Most people today, the problems they're experiencing today, they have experienced in their childhood and never got them figured out. The problem is, we haven't matured to the level that God wants us to mature, so some of these basic problems or issues or challenges or choices we make sometimes just get extrapolated out. So a child makes a wrong choice. Whatever we do, if I could summarize one general area I see as a challenge for Christian parents, is we're over-responsible. We're over-responsible. It's amazing how Christian parents bend over backwards to make it all perfect for their kids. It's incredible. And yet, it's so important that a child learns the basic principles of responding at an early age to authority, because out of that comes a healthy respect. And when a child makes a wrong choice, one of our temptations can be, not everybody, But one of our temptations can be is to bail our kids out from the consequences. And when you and I do that, what happens is you teach your kids, you know what? It's okay to make a wrong choice because my parents will undo it as far as the consequences go. And one of the best things for all of us, and that's what God does for us, is He helps us to be responsible for the choices we make. In some sense, without categorizing all of us in this category, a lot of parents are codependent parents. They need their kids to depend on them. It's amazing. You can really see this in the area of respect. There's a few given areas like in regards to choices. Say yes as much as you can. Basically, that's what I've been saying about choices. But there are certain areas you must win as parents. But you know what? You don't have to fight every battle. Pick your battle. And allow kids to make those choices. But there's certain basics that you always win. And that is, from childhood, you teach a child how to respect people in authority. This is absolutely huge. Did you know that a child's respect for parents is not only connected to a child's self-esteem? Children that are allowed to disrespect authority, and especially parents, are children that are going to have self-esteem problems. And most of the reason parents don't expect respect is because they struggle with their own self-esteem. Very interesting. And so one of the fundamental truths that's important here is that when a child errs and does something wrong, they need to be faced with the consequences of that authority, so to speak, above them. And don't enable them. One of the classics that I see happening in Christian circles in particular, of what I'm exposed to anyway, is it's amazing to me the lack of respect that parents will have allowed to take place in their own home. And whether that is in a child that's being raised or children that go away and then come back. And in the framework of your home and your own environment, parents, for sure, you want to win that battle. As long as your children are in your domain, a great question to ask them when they really get out of line is say, who pays the mortgage? And someday when you pay the bills, then you're going to make choices within that. So there's a basic respect personally. There's a basic respect in your own home and with your own authority. But when a child makes a wrong choice, resist the temptation to bail them out. Help them to work through that. How do you do that? Well, first of all, notice Psalm 145, verse 14. This is so powerful. It says, the Lord upholds all who fall. And He lifts up all who are what? Wow. Okay. One of the things we want to see when a child makes a wrong decision, it's a volitional choice. Okay. One of our goals as Christian parents is we don't want them just paying attention to us, right? Ultimately, they got to not only be responsible for their own action, but what we want to do is see them responsible to whom? To God, to Jesus Christ. More than fundamentally us. And I think the two are, you know, synonymous almost. But notice it says when a person fails, God's there to lift them up. But who will He lift up? He lifts up those that are bowed down. Another reason why parents don't bail them out if they haven't bowed. Man, oh man, are we quick to do it. We marvel at the prodigal son story. The number one thing we talk about in the prodigal son is a picture of whom? God the Father. The only reason the Father welcomed that son back was why? Because he came in humility and brokenness and repentance. And as Christians, we're notorious to short-circuit it. And that doesn't mean that you're upset or mean or vindictive towards your kids. In fact, when a person makes the wrong choice, notice a parent's response. Give understanding. Don't condone. Help foster conviction. Clarify responsibility. And with things like asking questions of who's responsible here? What specific area did you blow it? And what kind of consequences do you think are going to come because of that? See, all of those comments or those questions foster a sense of responsibility for that wrong choice. We can identify for sure, and that's part of a parent's response, is to identify. But our primary response is to help them know that they're responsible for their action. And what would you suggest, son or daughter, that you do in view of that wrong decision? In other words, we come back to help them empathize with them, but at the same degree come along to help them understand. The goal is, from their volitional choice, that they hear the voice of God. In Hebrews 4 says that today, when you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. It's so cool. Proverbs, you can look it up later. Proverbs 15:31. He that hears the reproof of life will be what? He will dwell among the wise. And so what we hope takes place when a child or a teenager chooses the wrong choice, that they will begin to experience the rebuke, the consequences that come from God. And what we need to do, if they're experiencing God's voice, we need to come along and be encouraging to them. I love one of the definitions of encouragement. It means to speak courage to somebody else. Isn't that cool? In other words, in fact, it's so intriguing. It says, nurture a child, just like I said, cultivate the mind and the morals. But admonition basically has only got one definition. It's not a strict slapping in the face. It is it's a movement to say, come on now, you can do this. Isn't that great? And the point is, when a child's listening to God's voice and they're responding, wow, that's the time you speak into that. And say, now what is God teaching you? Look at the rewards, the benefits, the privileges. Some of those things are painful. But look how exhilarating it is that you're responding to God. God's going to reward you and honor you for doing that. And look, He already has done that. You list that, you see? You get focused on when a child listens to God's voice. Notice Proverbs chapter 10. Verse 17. Turn to Proverbs 10:17. Notice I'm coming down towards the vortex. The vortex is that forceful suction at a point when a crucial decision is made. A child makes a wrong choice. It's volitional. They make that choice. They start to hear the voice of God, hopefully, because in 17a it says, he who heeds discipline shows the way to life. That is powerful. And by the way, it's so interesting. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and only the rod of correction can change him. And the rod of correction there isn't just some stick. It is allowing them to face the consequences of their behavior. But notice, when a child receives or heeds that discipline, then they're shown the way of life. And notice, it goes on, as I started, the values before we go up to that. But notice the rest of it. But whoever ignores correction leads others astray. Isn't that amazing? We're all human, aren't we? And when I do something wrong, it's one thing to do wrong and feel guilty about it. But if I do it long enough, consistently enough, you know what? I want company. I want you to join me in the process because I feel good. And I need to feel good to overcome my guilt. That's exactly what Proverbs says. But if you ignore that correction, you'll end up influencing others. But the goal is to get the arrows going up the other direction. And that is when they're shown the way of life because they listen to discipline, values are formed. Wow. And today, about raising kids, is to move our beliefs to our values. Our beliefs are what I believe intellectually. Our values, my values, is what I actually live out in the flesh. It's what I say, this is what I believe, and then look at this is how it's modeled. This is how it's shown. And when a child has those kind of values, wow, as parents, jump in there and give affirmation. Because what will take place, not just on your part, really on the part of the child, the work of the Spirit of God does that. There's validation by experience. Notice it says in Proverbs 10:16, the wages of the righteous bring them life. Now in the context, talking about financially, but in other passages of Proverbs, I actually use it because it was close to these verses. But it says in other passages of Scripture that you and I eat the reward of our actions. Isn't that cool? And when we start eating the rewards of living a righteous, good life, that is validation to you and me. Hey, Christ works. Christianity really is so tremendous because when I apply it, look what happens. And there's this validation, so to speak, that takes place. And one of the roles as parents, notice in a lot of ways, your role becomes less and less. You just give recognition to that. You give a sense of confirmation or affirmation, but also recognition. Because what's going to take place is that a child's going to develop virtue. And virtue is that consistent moral behavior that allows that person to be what God wants them to be in all of areas of life. And parents, for sure, need to praise their kids when they make those decisions, when they respond in that way. Now, the application for this message is huge, isn't it? It's across the board. There's so many areas. It's interesting, as I went through this chart this week, there's a lot of areas in my life I'm like a teenager. I need to become more responsible. And even in my attitude or my actions towards Linda, that's kind of embarrassing to concede in that way. But the principle, what God's trying to do, is no matter where we are in the scale, to help us become more responsible citizens, so to speak, of the kingdom of God. And for sure, in raising our kids. As I close in prayer this morning, you know, does the Spirit of God talk to you about anything? I'm curious to know. I don't have to know, but it'd be great for you to point that out as confirmation for what God's doing. It might be something that we sang today or one of the praise people led. It might be something that Brett said. It could be something that Bill Town referred to. It could be a verse that just kind of jumped out at you. It could be a relationship with your husband or your wife or your grandchild or a co-worker. Is there something that God is talking to you about? Are you listening to His voice? It could be an encouragement. It could be a little bit of a rebuff. That's okay. But how's the Spirit of God talk to you this morning? Let's pray. In the quietness of your heart where you sit, maybe that sketch was more true to life in your home than you want to say. It's never too late. And you can respond to God's voice today. Is he encouraging you to give more affirmation and praise and recognition and compliments? Is he encouraging you as a Christian parent to not enable your kids? To jump in there and undo the consequences to fix it? What's he saying to you? Do you sense that he's encouraging, telling you to do something? What is it? What will be the first step? Father, I think of that song, I Can Sing of Your Love Forever, and that really is true. But we know from other passages, scriptures translated, love is obedience. And the issue is really not your obedience to me. Could we sing of my obedience to God forever? I will sing of my obedience to you, O Lord, forever. I will sing of my obedience to you, O Lord, forever. Father, thank you that you truly are for us. The thrill of listening to your voice, responding to your promptings, to see the richness of a whole relationship, a restored relationship, to see the movement of your spirit when there's purity, when there's intentionality to advance your purposes, whether that is in a personal circumstance, in a marriage, whether that's raising kids or teenagers. Father, thank you for the offspring that are coming out of this congregation, many of which stay here, many of which go on to other churches and other endeavors in life around the world. Father, we believe that your work is being done even in them, even now. Thank you for the great privilege to be part of your responsible children. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.